This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
You can relax. Colleen and Eric have a podcast. The world is scary and we're locked in our home, but now we have big microphones. So you can relax. That's the name of our podcast.
Hello, welcome to Relax the Podcast. I'm Colleen Ballinger.
Hello, Colleen Ballinger.
And I'm here with my co-host and my husband and my love of my life, Eric Stockland.
That's so nice of you to say.
Yeah, it is.
I'm here, though.
So nice.
So you weren't lying.
I wasn't lying about any of it.
Oh.
If you're watching this week, you will see that we are not in a podcast room.
Tiny
microphones are back. We're in a hotel room, laying in bed.
One of us is wearing pants.
One of us is not.
One of us, sans pants.
No pants.
This you ever is say no sans? Pants
episode. Maybe if I'm feeling fancy. I always think of Comic Sans when people say sans the something.
Oh, the font?
Yeah, the horrible font.
Do you ever write a paper in Comic Sans?
No, you're not allowed to. Is it sans? I always thought it's Comic Sans. But no.
It's Shakespearean.
Shakespearean?
I know, yeah, sorry.
No, I never.
Long day.
You have to write it in Times New Roman, your papers.
Of course you do.
You can't write your papers
Comic Sans. If the requirement wasn't a word count, if it was a page count, Comic Sans.
But it's like too goofy Comic Sans.
I know, but it takes
it's
up
like
more space. So you could like write.
It's like the silly font.
Right. But you could write a 2-page paper and it would be like 10 pages.
But then it doesn't look professional because it's like kind
of
quirky.
Of course not. And they would call you out on it every time.
I never did that. I only did Times New Roman. And there was one other one that you could
Helvetia.
Write. Was that it? I feel like Helvetia is kind of like thicker. Like wider. Not like thin lines, but like
Helvetia
wider
is
letters.
Girth, yes.
But like thin, you know?
Yeah. They use it for a lot of like signs, Helvetia.
Hmm. Anyway.
Aries 2. What other fonts can you name?
I was thinking of Ariel or Aries or Aries.
Ariel is a font, yeah.
Is it? I think I made that
can
up.
Can you name any other fonts?
Yeah.
Courier? Is Courier
Times
New?
Times New Roman?
Okay.
Times New Roman. Courier. Yeah, that one. Courier.
Uh-huh.
Courier.
Italic? Yeah.
That's not a font. That's italic is just something you could do to it to make it slanty.
It might be in there. Typewriter?
Yeah.
Typewriter is a font?
Yeah, I guess so. That's true.
Look at me naming fonts.
What about...
You're on computers all the time. You don't know more fonts?
This is going to sound like the dumbest thing
I've ever said. It's like 100 fonts. Name another font.
It's like I'm on there all the time picking fonts for like when I put text on screen and editing. And I can see the names of all the fonts and what the fonts look like in my mind. I can see the picture of it, but I can't read them out like...
Can't picture them.
I can picture them, but I can't read them.
Out of your brain?
Yeah.
So you can picture what it says in your brain, but you can't read it
out
of your brain?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Like I can see one that's like kind of pointy and like kind of like Christmassy, sparkly kind of, but it's just like pointy and sharp. And it starts with a Z and it's like... Zenoda. Like that's how I'm reading it. It's like...
I feel like we've unlocked a new level of your brain.
It's not a good one to unlock. Anyway, can you name any more fonts? No,
I just named like 7 fonts.
We got Comic Sans. We got Arial Bold.
Uh-huh.
Is it Arial or?
That's piggybacking on my.
But what is that one called? Is it? It's not Arial.
I feel like it is.
Huh. And then there's, you said Courier.
Courier
Times New Roman.
Times New Roman. Helvetia, I said also.
That's a good one. I can't believe you remembered that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of any other ones.
Italic
isn't one.
Okay.
Anyway, so today we are in Portland. That's why we're in a hotel room.
Portland, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be confused with Portland, Maine.
Does that exist?
Yes.
I don't know the East Coast and West Coast girly. And we just had a show in Seattle, Washington last night.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, tomorrow we have a show in Portland. So that's why we're here in this bed in Portland. And I have a relax. Do you have a relax today, Lovey?
Sure.
Do you want to go first? You want me to go first?
I do not. You go first.
You guys?
Whoa, she sat up.
This week, the hotel that we are currently in needs to relax. Okay? Listen. I'm frustrated, y'all. I'm not a picky hotel goer. The only time I've ever complained about my hotel, at least that I can remember in the last year or two, if you watch my vlogs, you'd know, it was covered in bugs. Like, I walked in, there were flies everywhere flying around. There were dead crickets and like centipedes all over the room, blood on the ground, hair on all the towels. The sheets were not washed and pulled back, like unkept. It was a very disgusting, disgusting hotel.
Uh-huh.
And I think I was in Chicago when that happened. And that's the only hotel I was ever like, I can't stay here, and had to leave.
You're not too picky about hotels.
I'm not too picky.
You're okay.
I like a nice hotel.
Sure.
But like, I also love a bargain.
Yeah, I don't think you like nice hotels.
What?
You don't, I don't think you stay at them.
No, I love them. I just don't like spending more money than
you're
I need to.
You're frugal when it comes to hotels. Well,
sometimes. Well, I don't know. I like fun hotels. I like good hotels. You're thrifty. But I also love, well, it's not just that though, because think about it, the more expensive a hotel gets, the more they charge you for stuff. So if you stay at a fancier hotel, they charge you more for the internet. They charge you for food. Whereas like if you stay at like a cheaper hotel, you get free breakfast. You get free Wi-Fi.
Yeah. What I'm getting to is that like a hotel for you is purely functional.
Free
like,
parking.
You're like, I'm not going to be there. I'm just going to sleep. Like, why does it need to be?
Yeah, right. The parking here is $55.
Free of blood and hair and bugs.
Like, $55 a night here. This isn't even that fancy. It's not a really fancy hotel.
Was it really?
$55 a night. And at cheap hotels, they're like, it's free parking, y'all.
There's just like a parking lot.
Anyway, this hotel is not a bad hotel, and it's not the nicest hotel. It's just kind of like a good hotel. And this is a big chain, normally, this hotel. Not normally, it is. It's a big chain. I'm not going to call them out because I like staying at these hotels.
Right.
This hotel that we're at right now. I like staying at these. I've never had an issue with them before, and I'll stay at these again. But today, I'm annoyed. Guys, okay, we get here to Portland and we are trying to get to our hotel, but there's like so much traffic to turn left to our hotel. We're like, this is so weird, like blocks and blocks and blocks of cars. We're like, what's going on? Everyone's just like completely stopped. Like, no one is driving. What's going on? And so then we drive around this long line of cars that's just like this long line of stopped cars that's not moving. And we get up to our hotel, we pull up to the valet, and we're like, hey, we're staying here. And he's like, you have to get in line. I'm not. How many cars do you think it was?
100.
It wasn't that many, but it's probably like 30 cars, 20 to 30 cars.
It was a traffic jam. Yeah, I mean,
it was like 20 to 30 cars.
We're in the middle of a downtown of a city, Portland, as we've established. So you can't like just go park anywhere. And so it's not like we need to valet. It's like, because there's no other option unless you find like a public lot, like right, like somewhere around. But the traffic jam was people trying to get in because it is around the holiday time. Not even. It's the beginning of December. But every company that's ever existed in Portland is having their Christmas party at this hotel currently.
Right. And so I assumed, so there's this long line of cars in the valley. It's like, you have to get in line. And we're like, the line that goes like three blocks, like way up the city, like.
But none of these people are staying here.
Well, that's what I said. I was like, well, but we're staying here. We're guests at this hotel. He said, they're guests at the hotel too. And I was like, all of these people are checking into the hotel right now at 6 p.m.? And he was like, yes. And I was like, all these people are checking into the hotel to stay here at the same exact time that there is a line of traffic in the streets of cars, of like 30 cars. And he said, yes. And I was like, that's a lie. But okay, if he says so, I guess this is just the time everyone decided to check in at the exact same time. I've never seen that before. And I travel a lot. I've never seen that before. So I was like, huh, that's weird. So I get out of the car to check in, and there's a line to check in that was so long. And I was like, I guess he was right. I guess all these people are checking in at the exact same time. It was really weird.
Patience. We have patience.
Yeah, we didn't care. It was totally fine. It was totally fine.
We'll get there.
So we're standing in line waiting. No biggie. And then I was like, you know, I kind of got to pee. Eric, stand in line. We're going to be here for a while. I'm going to go pee. So then I go to go pee, and I go up to this old man, and I'm like, hey, where's the restroom? And he's like, I have to take you to it. This man must have been over 80 years old. He was very old, and he had to walk me there. He, like, escort me to the bathroom, and he...
It was like the movie The Labyrinth, and he's like, I have to lead you through the labyrinth to get you to the bathroom.
And so he walked me there, this sweet old man. But on the way, we passed the elevators just to get up to your room, and there was a line for that of, like, 40 people to get onto the elevators. I was like, what is going on? This is crazy. So I get back in the line to check in, and we are in line maybe like 40 minutes or something crazy. We get up to the guy, and I was like, what's going on here? And he was like, oh, we've got 5 Christmas parties here tonight. So first of all, I was freaking right.
But also you
to the valet guy, and he lied.
You love Christmas so much.
I do.
And there's all these corporate companies that are choosing to celebrate their holiday season the first week of December here at this specific hotel with multiple ballrooms or gathering centers. And you're like, bah humbug. You're Scrooge.
I'm not Scrooge. I'm happy people are celebrating Christmas. That doesn't bother me. I haven't even finished my story.
Okay.
So I was, no, what I don't like, it has nothing to do with Christmas. It has to do with the fact that
I think it does. Because I don't think it's normally like this, like every day.
No, I know that the busyness is because of Christmas. I know that's why it was busy. Okay. I know that. I'm saying my frustration is not with Christmas. Okay. My frustration is with the fact that the valet guy lied to me multiple times. It was like, they're all checking in to stay here at this hotel. And that is not true. They were all going to their holiday office parties. They weren't staying in this hotel. And why would they all check in at the exact same time as 6 p.m.? So anyway, that kind of was annoying. And it was just weird. I've checked into so many hotels over the last decade, traveling a lot for work. I've never seen a line for the valet that long. I've never seen a line to check in that long. And I've never seen a line for elevators that long. It was just crazy. I've never seen anything like it. So I was like, oh, this is wild. But still did not really care. I was like, wow, whatever.
Yeah.
So I check in and I'm like, okay, I need this many rooms. And the guy checking me in is like, well, only 2 of your rooms are ready. And we had 4 rooms. And I was like, well, but it's 6 and check-in was at 3.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, but 2 of them, they're probably clean, but we have to check. And I was like, okay, that's fine. You can check. You know, obviously I want to clean rooms. That's fine. I didn't even care. It wasn't matter anything. I was like, okay, but, you know, we had this event we were going tonight, this like festival thing we were going to tonight. So I was like, okay, cool. How long is it going to take? He's like, just a few minutes. I said, okay. So I wait a few minutes. He checks me into my other 2 rooms. And then he goes, all right, so it'll just be a few minutes. And I was like, oh, aren't they just checking the rooms to see if they're clean? Like, are they going to call or what? He's like, yeah, someone will call. And I was like, okay, so what should I do? And he's like, well, you can just get back in line. And by the time you get up here, they'll probably be ready. And I was like, I don't want to wait in the line again. Like, I'm supposed to have a room at 3 o'clock. It's now 6 o'clock. But now you're checking me into just 2 of the rooms for people who work with me, but not our rooms. And like, I was just like, wait, what? No, I don't want to get back in line to do what I just did because you don't have the rooms ready that we're supposed to already be. Like, I'm already paying for the rooms, you know, because when you pay for it, you think you can get into the room when you can get into the room. I don't think this is crazy. Yeah,
I mean, I experienced this, but you've lost me. But like, it's what you're describing is a perfect storm for this hotel. It's like probably the busiest day for them of the year. It's Saturday night. There's 5 holiday parties happening here. And so there's a line to even get in.
Right.
To park.
Right.
Because you have no other choice of anywhere else to park.
Right.
And then there's a line at the front desk all the way out the door.
Right.
And then even to get in the elevator to go up a room, you're waiting in line. And then so you're waiting in line to get an elevator that's going to be extremely packed. Like it's just a perfect storm of mess.
Right.
Yeah.
So where did I lose you? You said I lost you telling the story. Where did you get lost?
Where were you going? I don't know. Where were you going?
Well, I was explaining that, like, then the rooms weren't ready.
Yeah, and then the rooms weren't ready.
But which I thought was weird, because shouldn't the rooms be ready by the time you're supposed to?
Because after all that.
Because I understand when you check into a hotel. I've been to hotels before, and I try to check in, and it's not check-in time. They're like, they're not ready yet. And it's like, oh, they're not ready yet, because it's not check-in time. That's reasonable.
Uh-huh.
But if it's 2 hours, 3 hours after check-in time, and the rooms aren't ready. This still wasn't mad. I was just like, oh, it's kind of weird, but okay, they're busy, whatever. But then I was like, okay, so I didn't want to get back in the same line I was already in to check into the rooms I had just checked into because they weren't ready. Do you see what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
I thought that was a weird request from him. So I was like, well, can't I just wait right here? like at the desk with you until the rooms are ready. If it's just going to be a couple minutes, they'll call you back. And he said, no, you can wait somewhere in the lobby. Huge lobby, by the way. This is a very big hotel. Because you can wait somewhere in the lobby and I'll come find you. And I was like, wait, but you won't, because there's a long line of people. Wait, like, he's not going to leave his post checking people in to come find me. Like, there's no way. So I was just like, oh, well, no, I'll just wait right here. Like, I'll just wait off to the side. Like, I pointed to a section of the hotel lobby like that was, like, off to the side where he could see me. I was like, I'll just wait right over there until it's ready, if it's just going to be a couple of minutes. And he rolled his eyes in my face that I wanted to wait nearby so he could see me. And, yeah, he was very annoyed with me that I wanted to wait for the rooms to be ready. And then finally, after waiting another 20 minutes, we went back up. We're like, are the rooms ready? He said it would just be a few minutes. And he said, they're not, but I'll give you other rooms. And so then we get other rooms that were ready, but I guess our rooms were not ready. Or I don't know what was going on, but we got something.
Yeah, at first they gave us a room with double beds so we could sleep separately.
Yes. So that was the
wrong. Then they gave us this room, which had no towels.
So this room has no towels. No towels. It was all just kind of mess, but they're busy, whatever. But anyway, yeah. I still think this hotel needs to relax. It's not a big deal, but it was just like a hectic hotel experience today.
Yeah, I'm sure people have had hectic hotel experiences.
Yeah, so it just needs to relax.
It does.
I'm not mad. It's not a big deal. I'm just saying. That's who needs to relax. Yeah. It was a frustrating experience.
It's a service industry. I'm sure it's really hard. It's a busy time of year.
Yeah, definitely.
But what a mess today. They seem very frazzled.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not hiding their emotions well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like you've been very patient with them.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then Eric went down to say that we didn't have towels or a remote. Hey,
there's like literally zero towels.
Zero,
in this
not
hotel
like
room.
Not like there's dirty towels. Like, there's literally not any towels.
And I'm so non-confrontational. I was like, which T-shirt can I dry myself off with?
Right. So Eric went down to the front desk to ask for towels.
And the guy walked away.
He walked away. He's like, we don't have towels in our room.
The same guy
who talked to me. Eric looks at him and says, we don't have any towels in our room. And he looked at his phone and walked away. And then another guy was like, And Eric's like, oh, is there like someone I can speak to? Like someone who's in charge of like guest services or something? Like, I'm just trying to find some towels. And the guy's like, well, I'm in charge of guest services. And he throws his arms in the air and he's like, I don't know, shrugs and walks away. And Eric's like, what's going on? Like, it's been like the weirdest hotel experience.
I think Christmas parties for companies are just wild and intense.
Yeah.
And when you're an establishment hosting five of them at the same time, like, the wheels are off.
Yeah.
Like, this is the Wild West right now. Yeah, like, me and you, we could do whatever
we want.
We're
casualties.
Well, no, we could. I'm just saying, like, no, I hope not. But like,
in the Wild Wild West, I'd be the first to die.
I feel like I'd be okay for a while.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true.
But I think I'd already be dead. Like, the age I am now, I'd already be dead from like cholera or like something.
I would die.
Oregon Trail, you name it.
I would certainly die from pregnancy or childbirth if I made it.
Oh,
that far.
Yeah. No, you'd be way dead.
Way dead.
And I'd be like widower, like on it, like just on a horseback.
Yeah.
Just.
Anyway, I don't know why we're talking about that.
Because this hotel is the Wild West right now.
Oh,
got it. You want to break something? No one's going to notice or care.
No, I'm not going
to
do that.
Yeah, I'm not saying you're destructive. I'm just saying, like, if you wanted to.
You know what we should talk about? I know what we should talk about. Not breaking things in this hotel.
Manscaped.
Let's talk about our first sponsor, Lovey. We're going to talk about our first sponsor. Alrighty, Lovey.
Hi, Lovey.
Who do you think needs to relax this week? Because you didn't agree with my relax.
No, I agreed. I just think it must have been a really hard night for them, and but it's been a terrible experience.
Yeah,
I've never wanted to like write a review of a place, especially with a specific name of a person who works at the front desk here. But like, it's like it's been that bad.
Yeah, it's been pretty rough. We're not going to do that, though. We're not going to write.
No, I would never do that. I'm not like I've never written a Yelp review. I've never written, you know what I mean. I've never like it's just, you know, I try and be sympathetic to people in their situations, but like it's been so bad that like I almost want to complain. You know, I want to complain about a person. I don't know what he's going through. You know, you don't know what people are going through. You know.
So who needs to relax for you, Lovey Bug?
I've been wanting to tell you this story. We were in Seattle last night. You did a wonderful full show in Seattle last night.
You haven't been wanting to tell me too long. Just since last night?
Yeah. For 2 days, I guess. I've been wanting to tell you the story since we flew to Seattle, and I was like thinking about. I don't have a lot of experience in Seattle. Like the last time I was here before this, I think, was when you were doing a show right before Flynn was born. You did a show here in Seattle. Well, I guess we're in Portland now, but last night we were in Seattle.
Yeah.
Right before he was born. But before that, and before you, I had a girlfriend who was from Seattle.
Oh.
I don't think I've told you this.
I don't know about this girlfriend.
You do.
I do?
I think so, yeah. I don't know. Maybe you blocked it
I don't think I know about this girlfriend, but anyway.
And I came up to Seattle with her to visit her family.
Is it triggering memories for you?
One specific memory.
Wait a minute. You visited her family? That's serious stuff.
Yes. I mean, it wasn't like that serious. But
visiting her family, that means you guys were at the love stage. Were you saying I love you?
I think so, yeah. But like I just had never been to Seattle
and
she was going
first?
Home. Who said it first then?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't remember details.
Of course you do.
I'm trying to tell you a story
here. Okay, sorry. I'm invested in this girlfriend that I've never heard of.
You've heard of her, yeah.
I don't think so.
But that's you have.
Okay. I don't remember. But anyway, so you met her family.
Yeah, so I came up with her to meet her family.
Okay. Was it for Christmas? Thanksgiving?
No, it was it was wintertime, I know, because there was like snow, but it wasn't for Christmas. It was just for like a weekend. And I came up with her to Seattle to meet her family.
That's cute.
Uh-huh. And she had a younger sister that was much younger. I think it was a half sister. No details here, but
that was pretty detailed. Okay.
Like a little kid.
Okay.
Like a.
Tell more details,
like
please.
under five.
Okay.
Right.
Cute.
And they lived outside of Seattle, and then they're like, "We got to take Eric into Seattle proper, so he can see all the you know, the Pike Place and the first Starbucks and all the things."
I feel like you told me you've never been there.
That's not true. I literally told you yesterday. Yeah, I've been here, but I didn't tell you like the details.
Okay.
I'm telling you now.
Okay, got it.
And I remember. My stomach was kind of upset because of like the nervous. I don't know. It was like a weird situation.
Well,
and then the
stressful.
Flight. Well, then you get to like this person's house with their family and like it's not your home. We try not to talk about this on the podcast anymore, going to the bathroom. But like it wasn't a home field scenario.
Yeah.
And it was like the bathroom in this house. It was like, you know, it wasn't real privacy.
What do you mean? They didn't have a door on it?
They had a door, but like it was like
door?
Off the pocket door off the living room, much like this hotel room, you know, like
it was off the living room, the bathroom?
Yeah. So I couldn't really fulfill that part of my life.
Or unfulfill it.
Yeah.
Unfill it.
Oh God. this is when I feel so bad about this story and this is the reason I remember it. So then,
did you go?
So we get there. We have dinner. We spend the night. And then the next morning, it's like her younger sister, her parents, they're going to take me into Seattle proper to like see the sights because I had never been before.
And you still haven't pooped? Is that the thing?
I still haven't pooped.
Okay. And how do you hold it? I can't hold. Okay, anyway.
I don't know. So we get in like the family SUV or whatever, the five of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I silently I think totally anonymously
shit your pants
pretty much toot,
yeah,
and it is the worst smelling.
Wait, you think it was anonymous? Because I'll tell you right now, they all knew that was
you. I'm getting to that. It was it was like, you know, when you do that and there's no sound, but the smell of it. What else can
I
say?
I know what I know.
It's so bad, but you're like, we didn't even make any sound. Why does it smell so bad? So that's what happens. And we're in a car on the way to downtown Seattle. And it's so bad that everyone in the car is like, it's like gagging, like wanting to throw up.
Wait, did no one claim it? Did they say anything?
Yes, I'm getting to it. This is one of my most shameful moments.
How have you never told
me
this?
I'm so ashamed.
I'm so mad at you for never telling me this.
It's one of my most shameful moments of my entire life. Like, like, I will not get into heaven because of this. Because
the
father and mother assume that, like I said, she has this much younger sister. I think she was like 4 or 5. They blame it on her because this is her MO. She's a little kid. You know what I mean? It's like us blaming our kid. Like, oh, you must have done that.
I've never blamed it on my little kid.
And so they blamed it on her could be. And then they joke around and said, Eric, was that you? And I, pulling from my Shakespeare background, like the best acting I've ever done in my life, was like, that was not me. I absolutely. Like, I didn't do it. And I totally.
You blame the little
girl? I blamed it on the little girl.
Oh my gosh.
And she was just like, no, that wasn't me. And I was like, okay. I met her a day ago. I was like, okay, that wasn't you. I'm sitting next to her.
Oh no.
She's like in between us in the back seat. And I totally. It was like with the parents, like, oh yeah, it must have been her because it definitely wasn't me, and it totally was.
Oh, lovely.
And it was the and then, not like it stopped.
Did you ever
there.
Tell your girlfriend?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Wait, did you? So then,
I've lived in shame till this day.
But now I have a question.
Yeah.
So once it happened, and now you have a scapegoat, like you have an excuse. Like, did you just keep letting them rip? Because you're like, I can just keep blaming this little girl.
Like, I mean, not even on purpose, but it was like it was. There was no stopping
just kept
it. There
out
was
over
no.
That?
There was no like security at the door.
Oh,
you know what
no.
I mean? Like it was, and it's one of the most shameful moments of my life that I let it be blamed on her, and now having kids and like knowing their honesty, like the parents.
They knew it was
they
you.
Were just letting me go on because once they asked her and she was like, no, it wasn't me. Like, they must have believed her because, like, kids are so honest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you can totally tell when they're joking or lying or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, and they would never be ashamed of anything mm-hmm. like that. But I was.
Did you?
And they were like, oh, okay, you know, talking to her when she was like, no, I didn't do it. And they were, like, kind of messing with her. I think they were just doing it to, like, make me feel comfortable and, like, feeling bad for me.
Right.
But they must have been like, what a jerk this guy is. Like, I feel like such a jerk in hindsight.
Did you get to let it all
that
out?
That I was like, yeah, it was your daughter. Yeah, sorry.
Did you get to let it all out when you got to the restaurant?
Well, then we got to, like, Pike Place Market.
And
you know
you
what I mean?
Like,
and then it was just, like, a fart parade. Yeah.
But did you go to the bathroom?
No, I think I didn't get to go to the bathroom for, like, that whole three-day trip.
What are you talking? How do you do that?
How do I do that?
That's crazy to me.
I don't know. I think I need to see, like, a gastrologist.
So how many times did you go up to visit her parents?
Just that one time.
Did she visit your parents?
No.
She never met them?
No.
Mm-mm. Who broke up with who? I don't know
me.
This person. You broke up with you?
I broke up with her, yeah.
How'd you do it?
I like to think gently and respectfully
well,
in person.
Well, obviously you're
yeah.
a sweetheart, but I just mean like... Oh. I don't know who this... this is the first I'm hearing of this person.
No.
I want to know
I
all
mean,
the
you
deets.
Do. You just don't know like, the details of that. I've never talked about that with you.
If you said
the
her
time
name,
I farted
like,
and blamed it on a little girl. And everybody, like, went along with it, but also knowing that, like, I'm a total jerk who would blame
oh
his fart. Because now I'm like... I would totally be like, yeah, that was me. Like, I can't imagine ever blaming
you, I don't think
a fart on somebody else, especially a kid. No, I wouldn't. Well, like...
With me, you would admit
with
it.
With you, I'm so comfortable with your... I don't know. Like, but in that circumstance, I was like... It was her. You know what I mean? And, like, everybody, like, went along with it. But knowing that, like, I'm just this total...
Love, this sounds like it traumatized you a little bit.
Well, I don't think for the rest of my life I'll ever blame one of my toots on another person. Like, I will always own it now.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
Like, it was me.
Love, you asked me to write something down to talk about today.
I did.
And I wrote it down, and now I'm like, why?
I'm glad I did, because I forget what it was already.
But now I'm like, why did you want me to write that down? Because
okay.
I'm like, what are we going to even say about it? You told me to write down when gum gets stuck in your stomach for 7 years. Because
oh,
I said
I was
that
driving
on stage.
And I couldn't write it down, yeah.
But why did you? So on stage in Seattle, a guy came on. I brought a guest on stage and was kind
an
of.
An audience member.
An audience member. And I was kind of poking fun at him because it looked like he was chewing gum. And he wasn't chewing gum. Apparently, he was.
You made fun of him for chewing gum, and he was like, "It's not. I'm not chewing gum. It's a Sour Patch Kid."
Which was so weird to me because he was chewing it for like so long. It definitely looked like he was chewing gum
for minutes and aggressively.
Yeah, really aggressive, open mouth smacking gum. It was very obviously gum. And then he was like, "No, it's a Sour Patch Kid." And then he wasn't chewing it anymore. I was like, "So then later, I kept kind of making fun of him for that." And then I was like, "You're a liar. It wasn't a Sour Patch Kid. Like, you obviously just swallowed that gum and you got embarrassed because now, you know, we all know that it's going to be stuck in your stomach for 7 years or something." I don't remember what I said. It was like, I was just going around as Miranda was stupid. But I made some comment about how now that gum's going to be in your stomach for 7 years because that's something dumb that we're all told as kids that I believed.
Well, that's why I said write it down, because you said, like, I can't believe we all believed that lie when we were kids, and I still believe it. Is it not true?
I'm pretty confident that is not true.
If you swallow gum, it's why Well, why would it be in your intestines for 7 years? And why would I believe that? And why do I believe that? Because I still actively
I'm looking
believe
it up.
That.
I'm looking it up for you. Because I'm pretty sure that you're not really supposed to swallow gum. But I know that we, for some reason, we're all told the number seven.
Yeah.
We were all told 7 years. Am I wrong? We were all told 7 years.
7 years, yeah.
Like, it's stuck in your stomach for 7 years.
Right. Well, while you look it up, I'll say that also we were, when we left Seattle this morning, we visited a gum wall alley in Seattle where people would chew their gum and then put it on the wall of this alley, so much so that, the entire alley is covered in their used gum, which is inarguably disgusting.
It was so gross. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you find the answer yet? Because that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. Okay. So what happens if you swallow gum?
Okay.
The bottom line, if you swallow gum, it stays in your stomach for 7 years.
For real?
No. Oh, why did you believe that?
Because I was told it as a child.
No, if you swallow gum, rest assured it will not take 7 years to digest. Your body can safely pass gum within a few days. Oof. If you swallow gum, it's true that your body can't digest it, but the gum doesn't stay in your stomach. It moves relatively intact through your digestive system and is excreted in your stool.
Yeah. Well, wait, what? Okay. Yeah.
Yes, you poop it out like you would anything else.
Yes.
I think it's similar to corn, where it just comes out in its same form.
Right,
when it.
Why did we all believe and still me?
I don't know, but when the
till yesterday.
But what's great about this is I searched.
Did it would like stick in there?
All I searched was, if I swallow gum, that was all I searched, and this came up the first thing. But it says people who search for this also searched for swallowing gum can kill you is the first option.
Yeah, maybe.
So now I'm clicking on that. So here we go. Listen to this. Swallowing one piece of gum every now and then isn't likely to do any harm, but you shouldn't make a habit of swallowing your gum on a regular basis, as it has the potential to do some major damage.
We're not doctors, so don't take
This is from health.clevelandclinic.org.
I'm not saying they don't know their stuff either, but don't take any advice.
We don't know
us
what we're talking
medically
about.
For sure.
So gum used to come from tree resin. These days, though, chewing gum is made of a substance called gum base, which is largely synthetic, not made from any real food ingredients.
You were shocked by that?
I don't know why. Gum base is non-nutritive. Sorry if I'm stupid and don't.
There's no nutrition.
Well, I know what it means, but I'm saying like nutritive. I've never seen that word before. Anyway, which means it doesn't provide any nutritional value and is non-digestible, which means your body can't break it down like it does other foods. So, yeah, you'll be fine. Does gum stay in your stomach for 7 years? No. No worries. Gum does not stay in your stomach for 7 years or even 7 days. It comes out about 40 hours later in your stool.
If you're lucky.
And comes out whole.
40 hours later.
So, yeah.
Sounds like you're pretty regular.
Yeah, there you go. So, it doesn't stay in your tummy. What other lies are you told as a child that you believe still?
So many.
I guess you would know because you would know they were lies.
I would just think they're truth, yeah.
Like there was
that's
some like
a hard, cold question. I'd have to think about that.
There's some questions that are like, or some things they said like, oh, if you swallow a black watermelon seed, it'll grow into a watermelon tree in your tummy. And like I always knew that one wasn't true because that's insane, but the gum in your tummy I really thought was true. Oh, you know what I believed in? It terrified me and I still am scared of this.
What's that?
If you pee in the pool, the whole pool will turn like blue or red or something because they put a chemical in the pool that like knows if you peed
in
the whole pool.
Can they do that? Is that true?
I don't know, but I know that I believe it about every pool and every jacuzzi, and that's why I will not pee because I'm like, it's gonna turn the whole pool like bright red or bright blue or whatever neon color they've chosen. But I don't think that's true. I think that might be another lie they've told us.
I remember I filmed a scene for this Netflix show Lucifer where I'm in a hot tub. And we sat there for hours in this hot tub. And I was like, well, I could just pee because we're...
With all those actors in
there
with
they're like, you know how they like have to reset cameras and lights? But you're like, but I was like literally, for the most part, completely
pretty much naked
in this hot tub. And we're all just sitting there. And no one else was getting up to go to the bathroom. So I was like, I could... Like, what do I do? But, like, I didn't because I'm like, what if they put the chemical in it?
See, you thought that. It blue. See, I don't think that's true. Should we look it up?
I don't know.
Do my great research here and look it up. If I pee in a pool. How is this not the most commonly searched thing in the world? What?
Sorry, guys. We're trying to get you the facts here, and we want to make sure they're correct. So we're letting.
I can't believe there's not a million Google people it. Searching this. Is this not a universal thing that, like, the pool will change a color?
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Wait. I did just see it. Okay. When you pee in a pool, does it turn blue? Is what I just found. Mm-hmm. Such a dye does not exist. Rumors of the origin of urine indicator dye go back at least as far as 1958. And the story is commonly told to children by parents who do not wish them to urinate in the pool. I fully believe this. Until now, I still believe this.
When you think about it, like there's so many chemicals that go into pool and hot tub water to, like, make sure that the pH levels and whatever, like, who's going to then put a chemical in that we want to make sure no one's peeing in this?
Right.
Everyone's peeing in it, you know?
I guess so. Aren't but they all? I definitely believe. Are there other things like that from, like, childhood that you're like, oh, yeah, I totally believe that?
I don't know that, but one thing that was triggered, I remember when the Blair Witch Project, the movie came out, the original.
Very scary.
I remember
movie.
Going to see it in theaters.
Sorry, if you're watching the episode, you'll notice our camera suddenly has switched because our camera battery died and now we're on a phone. But if you're listening, you won't notice anything except for the fact that I just pointed that out. Anyway,
hello, listener.
Eric was talking about the Blair Witch Project.
When I saw it originally in theaters, I was aware that it was a fake, you know what I mean? That it was a fake, a mockumentary, if you will.
It was
a fake documentary. I saw it in a movie theater in Milford, Connecticut, like a movie theater, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? But I still, I don't know if I wanted to, or I believed it was real. I believed the whole thing was real. And I went back and saw it another two times and still believed it was real. Like, the Blair Witch Project, it's a real documentary. This really happened to these people. And I kind of still do.
That's pretty crazy.
They did a good job with that movie, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
The sequel's not
the
at all.
The original Vloggers.
Was that movie?
No,
think?
I'm just saying, like, that. There wasn't a movie like that before. And that wasn't a big thing that then. Like, no one was, like, filming themselves that often. Like,
no, it was, like, groundbreaking.
I'm saying, like, that was, like, yeah, that was a very new, interesting thing.
It created
thing
a whole genre of film, I think. Like, found footage movies. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess so.
Careful, you're not wearing pants.
I know. I'm not wearing pants. I'm wearing shorts.
Well,
I'm wearing shorts.
Shorts is a relative term.
But I can't think. Are there other things from childhood that, like, we're all told that we just, like, believed? And I'm not talking, like, Santa Claus. I'm not talking, like, you know, Easter Bunny stuff. I'm talking, like, there must be so many things like
that. How long did you believe in Santa Claus for?
I don't remember ever believing. Spoiler alert, by the way, you got to warn people if there's a kid listening to this.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying he's not real. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, Santa's totally real,
right?
First of all. But I never, as a kid, I remember never really. I'm sure I did believe in Santa, but I don't remember a time believing in Santa. I only remember not believing in Santa.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There wasn't a time I, like, discovered something, you know, like, it wasn't like that. It was just like, I don't. You did?
Yeah.
Oh, was it devastating for you?
Not really. I don't think it was. I think it was just more just excitement about that I found a bunch of presents in my parents' closet that were for me for Christmas that had already been labeled from Santa.
Oh.
And so I was like, oh, Santa's not real. Also, can't wait to open these presents. You know what I mean? Like, so I was more excited about, like, seeing presents that I would get to open eventually than I was that finding out that
Yeah, I think to me in my head it always seemed like
suspension and disbelief, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think to me in my head it always seemed like a story.
Right.
Like, it never seemed realistic to me.
Right. So when I
found
that,
I'm not saying
that,
Santa's not,
like,
real. I think Santa's totally real, guys.
Could be.
I'm not saying Santa's not real. I'm just saying that, like, it was hard for me to believe as a kid that there was a man who flew around the world. It seemed like a fairy tale. It didn't seem like a real story to me. But I'm sure there was a time where I believed in it. Just from my memories, I don't remember believing in it.
It's weird, though, like, now being parents, that, like, since we went through that, we're like, do we just keep that going? We've never had this discussion, but we've had a couple Christmases with having kids. Like, and there are presents from Santa, and we say, oh, Santa got you that.
Right.
And what's making us keep that going? Because
I don't know. I think because everyone, well, it's hard because when you have kids, it's like, you don't want them to like spoil something magical for other kids, you know. But I heard someone explain it well. I heard someone say that they tell their kids like, oh, there's this story and a lot about this, and they tell the story of Santa, and they go, and a lot of people believe in Santa. What do you think of that? Like, and it's kind of tell the story and be like, what do you think? You know, and instead of being like, this is real and this is happening and like, this is a real story, they just kind of tell the story as a story. Uh-huh. And then be like, what do you think? Do you think that's real or not real? Or something like that. I don't know. The way they posed it wasn't like saying it as a fact. They were saying it as like a story. Isn't that cool? And a lot of people say Santa comes to their house and gives them presents. Do you think Santa comes to our house and gives us presents? Like, pose it as a question. And then if they ask you if you believe, like, you're just honest.
Well, I like storytelling.
I do too.
I like stories. And I think it's a interesting story. But then I was reading The Night Before Christmas. I was mm-hmm. reading it, and it's, as I was saying to you, one of the podcasts previous, where I was like, the reindeer names, I was like, I didn't realize these were the names. Also, like, that book is like, when you read it just very flat, it's really strange how it's like, there's this man and he's coming mm-hmm. down your chimney, and he's got a jolly belly and a beard, and he's like, he wants cookies and I don't know.
It is really weird.
You know what? You'd have to like get the actual literature, because I'm not going to like say it correctly, but it's a little bit, I'm not going to say it's creepy, it's strange.
It is really strange. And I will say that our son Flynn, you know, we've just always kind of, we've never made a big deal about Santa. Like, it's like,
no,
the presents
haven't.
Are from us, and like, we might have a present from Santa or something, but like, we don't really talk about it that much. Like, Santa's in the books that we read sometimes, and maybe in some shows that you watch, but we don't like make that big of a deal of Santa.
No.
But I will say that last year I was telling him the story of Santa, because it was the first year he could really comprehend what I was talking about, because he was three, and he just turned three and could really kind of understand it. And I was explaining it to him and how cool it was. This, he lived at the North Pole, and we'd read him books about Santa. He'd seen videos of Santa. And he said, no, Mommy, I don't want Santa to come here. He was like, I don't want that man to come here. Tell him not to come here. I just want presents from you. And I was like, oh, that's fair. That makes sense. And he said the same thing to me this year. I was like, which makes sense, because it's weird. Like, a man coming into your house and leaving presents and eating your cookies is freaking weird, dude.
Well, I read that book to him, and it was like, okay, your parents are going to go to sleep, and you're going to be excited for Christmas morning, so you're going to be, like, kind of awake, and then a home intruder is going to come down through your chimney and out your fireplace and be expecting things from you. You know, it was,
and he's gonna be like, sit on my lap, tell me what you want for Christmas.
I wish I had the book in front of me, because it was like, yeah, it was really strange.
The history of Santa Claus and the beginning origin stories of Santa Claus, I know, came from a really sweet, kind, good-hearted place. And I think, you know, my growing up, I always thought it to be innocent and sweet and exciting. And as a parent, I want my kids to be able to enjoy the story of Santa Claus and the story of all that. But it is very strange. But I do want my kids to be comfortable. And like, we went to a little mall area the other day, and Santa Claus was there. And
we were
like, Flynn, look. And he kind of smiled. He's like, oh, it's Santa. And I was like, do you want to go meet him and say hi and tell him what you want for Christmas? And he was like, no.
Nope.
Not a chance. And we were like, okay. You know, like, no biggie. Yeah. Like, we didn't care. Like, we let him, you know, we're not going to push
I
that.
I wanted the classic picture with Santa.
Yeah.
But it was like, you know, but it was not happening. No. I wonder if on your phone, since mine is recording the podcast mm-hmm. right now, if you can look up, if like the words to that, the night before
the
Christmas,
words,
would just be
okay. Google-able. That's a very long book.
Well,
you want to read
specific,
it?
Not the. I don't want to read the whole really thing to our book. Audience, unless that's what you guys want. And then leave a comment, and I'll read that next week. Right. But first, we should say hello to
HelloFresh. Our next
that's
sponsor.
Easy. Okay, so I'm still stuck on 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. I'll keep it short. I'm not going to read the whole thing to our listeners, but I will say, when I read this to our son the other night to go to sleep, I was like, what's going on here? Because here's this story. You're going to hear stuff on your roof. You're going to hear like footsteps on your roof. Like, and to me as a kid, that'd be scary to me.
Yeah.
Like, you're hearing like strange sounds, like footsteps on your roof. Mm-hmm. And then this man's going to come down your chimney. And then when it gets to describing him, like, we all know Santa. We all love Santa. We get it. He's this jolly old man. But the way they describe him in this book
he's a bearded older man. He's a bearded stranger that was walking around on your roof and then essentially invaded your home.
Right.
And he's smoking. I was like, wait, this guy, it goes on a lot about like the stump of his pipe is held in his teeth and the smoke encircled his head like a wreath. And I'm like, so this old, like, it's 2022. This old man is stomping around on your roof, broken into your house, and it's just like straight up smoking in your living room on Christmas Eve. And he's like, give me cookies and milk, little kid, like your parents are asleep. And I just think it's too,
it's too much.
He's smoking.
Yeah. It's kind of weird.
And he's, I don't know.
Yeah.
And he looks a little rough. He's got this, like, ragged beard.
Yeah.
And he's, yeah, I don't know. It's
a lot.
It's just a lot. So I'm reading this to my kid and having not read it for a long time, thinking it's this, like, sweet Christmas story. And I'm just telling him, like, hey, just so you know, I'm going to be asleep. You're going to be awake. A man's going to break into our house smoking.
We should tell him, we should tell him Santa only comes if he wants him to, because like I don't want him to think, now I'm scared that he's thinking like every night this guy's gonna just come to the house. We should explain a little bit more.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean,
he's gonna be winking at you a lot, because he also in this story he doesn't speak.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he won't speak back to the kid. He's just like this silent home invader.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
That's just smoking in your living room in the like wee hours of the night as your parents are sleeping.
It's pretty weird, guys.
It's a little bit wild.
Yeah, for sure.
My other relax this week.
Oh, you had more.
My last one.
Oh yeah, what is
it? We're almost done here.
Uh-huh.
Is,
oh, we were supposed to make you a Tinder profile. We forgot again. Next week, guys.
We'll do it eventually.
Someday.
That's funny. Dang it. You remember that.
I just remember after it's too late.
I love a light. I love a good Christmas light.
Okay. Where are you going with this?
Christmas lights, like, we go to look at them. That makes you happy? The things that have lights on them? Like, what are they? They're just, like, there's a lot of light bulbs. They're colorful. They're on, like, a cord. But en masse, that's, something we should all line up for, pay tickets for, because the way that you are looking at me right now is like you're like,
you,
this is the first
insane.
Time I thought you were actually gonna murder
Mr.
me.
Mr. Ebenezer Scrooge over here. Do you know the way you just described it was so obnoxious? It's like describe anything that everyone loves, but like just describe random specific details about it. Like, most people enjoy like a good taco, right?
Right.
It'd be like if I was like, a taco. So what, like,
a shell.
Oh, a tortilla, and you tortilla. Put meat, and then like cheese, lettuce, tomato. I don't know.
And what
this
we're
is,
all supposed to
this
eat
This is
in,
something
like
you
it.
Like. This is something you enjoy.
Well, they're just
like what
I
a
mean,
weird. You're like, there's lights on a string, and you
like,
look at them, and you like it.
At, well, I'm stepping back, and I'm looking at it objectively, like.
And you don't enjoy it.
It's
you're
just
not,
a,
like,
and
you
well,
don't
I'm
it's
saying
pretty.
It's just a tree, right?
They're the lights
trees,
are not a tree.
There are trees all over the place, and now we're gonna put a tree inside. But we're going to put these lights we got at Walgreens or Home Depot on this tree. And then we're like, oh, great. This tree's inside. And this is so
no one magic. Agrees with but you. No one. This is the worst relax you've ever had.
But they're just
so stupid.
Well, we like. Well, then we're like, we're in these two cities for your tour here. And you're like desperately trying to find like, well, where did they put the lights? We got to go to see where they put
that
the lights.
Not
and I'm like,
at all
in the back of
happened.
My head, objectively, I'm just like. Well, they're just trees, right? And they put the lights on the trees, but they're still the same trees, and they have lights on them. What makes this so, what about this makes you so happy?
That's
maybe it's a
not
question?
That's literally not at all what happened. I did not say, oh, I'm in these cities. I need to see some weird lights on trees. Like, that will make me happy. That's not
so
what I said.
So you wanted to go to tree lightings. I'm sorry that
that's
I didn't describe it the right way.
That's not what I said at all. Like, not even for 1 second did I say it. I said, I want to do something Christmassy in another city that's like a cold, wintry city where it's snowing. I want to do something Christmassy. I want to do something Christmassy. Let's look up and see what's Christmassy. And then I listed lots of things that were Christmassy that we could do in the Seattle and Portland areas. One thing was a Christmas tree lighting where they turn the lights on a Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
That was one thing. And the reason I mentioned that one is because at this Christmas tree lighting they also had hot cocoa, Christmas carolers, Santa Claus, reindeer. So, but it was called the Christmas tree lighting, but there were all these other things at it. So that is why that was exciting. It wasn't that, I like to look at little tiny light bulbs on a string that are attached to a tree.
Fair enough.
It was that it was an event that celebrates Christmas and the Christmas spirit and the holidays and people.
I love that.
Who are festive
no, I'm
and
not.
Happy.
Yeah, but I'm being more specific. I'm talking about the lights
because they're pretty. You don't think Christmas lights are pretty?
I love decorates.
So like, why are you trying to? You're, it's like you're arguing.
No, I'm taking a step back and objectively like. Is it that that's all we need as human beings to be a little bit happier, like when we're like really cold or like whatever? It's like if we just make those these kind of everyday things like just a little more shiny.
No, not at all. Because certainly not, because that's proven tonight that that is not what we need, because we went to a light festival thing tonight and we were like, this is lame. Like, and there wasn't anything.
I'm not trying to be like bah humbug. I'm just like.
It says nothing to the lights. It has to do with like. Being in the spirit and being with family and drinking hot cocoa and singing Christmas songs and making memories.
But that's not what I'm saying.
So you're just saying, what's the point of Christmas lights?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm coming around. It's okay. Like, I mean, I'm sentimental. I liked them as a kid. I liked going to see them as a kid. Like, I get excited when I see them. But it is what it is, isn't it?
Well, you could say that about anything on the planet.
Well,
you're wearing
strange.
A shirt.
No,
but why
no,
are you wearing
no,
a shirt? It's just a piece of material
not
that
like
was
that.
Sewn together with some
no,
buttons
this
and you
is
put
our,
on your body.
No, this is our What's world. That? This is our everyday life. But then one time a year, you know, whatever, I don't know, whatever religion you are, whatever, but like one time a year, like everywhere, like in America, they're like, you know, and wherever else, they're like, we're going to put lights in trees.
Well,
and it makes
other,
everyone
not just,
happy.
Not just in trees. On buildings, on houses, on poles, like all over the place. There's lights everywhere.
Yeah.
It's pretty.
It is great.
It is. So what's the relax? I'm so confused.
Well,
you're just angry that lights that
no,
make
that,
people
like,
happy?
That it was like frustrating today that we made such an effort to be at a place where they had put these plastic lights on trees. And it was kind of underwhelming, I guess.
Well, then that's what your relax should be. That it was promoted as like this big festival and event and there was nothing there to do. Or see, not that like lights bother you, because lights have many purposes. Like,
yeah, you
lights,
can see
you can
in
see
the dark.
Things, you can see that you can light up a tree, and it makes the tree sparkle.
Flash
and pretty
lights,
and
light
like,
house,
exciting.
These are functions of a light. Yeah.
Yes, it's
night
so,
light.
I don't know why your relax is you're aiming your frustration at the wrong thing. It's not the lights that
no,
you're frustrated
I was just,
with.
No, I'm just objectively speaking about. It. It's a little bit silly. A little bit silly we're just going to put lights in trees. And then,
but it isn't silly.
And why does that make us so happy? And it makes me happy too, myself included.
Because it's pretty. It's fun. It's pretty. It's interesting. It probably like triggers some endorphins.
Yeah, from your childhood excitement.
And memories and nostalgia. And it's pretty and it's exciting. And our kids get excited when they see them. We get excited when we see them. It gives us memories. We create memories with our family. But it's all the things together. Like I said, getting hot cocoa and singing songs and it's not
family
and it's usually not just like lights. Usually it's like lights and like a reindeer display or a nativity scene or Santa Claus or snowmen or you know.
Why can't we do that
things.
All like all year round? Why can't we have lights and trees all the time?
Now we're talking. This is what I've been trying to convince you of since we met. Let's do Christmas all year round.
That's
See
not,
now we're on the same page. Now we're on the same page. Like, finally you understand.
What have I done?
Finally you understand.
Oh, I've made a huge mistake.
I'm so glad we're finally on the same page, Lovey.
I've made a huge mistake.
So, you heard it here first.
But I do like, but like, not the, but then they have to be Christmassy lights. Because I like lights and trees. I like outdoor lighting.
See,
but
this
does it
is,
have to be?
See, now you're just proving.
Can't they just be?
But see, now you're just proving that you're purposefully just trying to hate on Christmas
I'm
because
not.
Because you are because you just admitted you like lights and trees you like pretty lighting but just
it,
as long as it's not Christmas
I
colors
didn't say like
then
that
I don't
you
then I don't like it
Colleen Ballinger like is so good at impressions but she's really bad at doing an impression of me because
it's always just like a grumpy sound grumpy sounding person because do you see what I'm saying though you're like I love lights and trees light everything up just as long as it's not for Christmas
no I mean the tinsel, the sparkle. I like.
No
like,
one uses tinsel anymore. First of all,
they don't.
Who uses tinsel?
Classic.
That's so
bring back tinsel.
No one uses tinsel.
Who canceled tinsel?
Probably everyone because it's like hard to clean up.
Yeah, you really care about that glitter queen. You're all about cleaning up.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't like this. It'd be hard to clean up. That's you. That's for sure.
I'm just saying, I think that's why it got canceled.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm so excited that now we're celebrating Christmas all year round at our house. And
you
hope
win.
You have a fabulous week. We are performing tomorrow in Portland. I've got a fundraiser coming up this weekend as you're listening to this. December 11th, 12 p.m. noon, I'm having a Pacific Standard Time. I'm having a little concert, a virtual concert. It's a $20 donation to watch us sing Christmas songs and celebrate the holidays. And all the money from that, all the ticket sales, goes to childhood cancer funding, research, families.
Say it again, December 11th.
December 11th at noon Pacific Standard Time. That is the Christmas concert.
Where do they get tickets? Because this is really big
Rush
and important.
RushTix.com. You can just search Colleen Ballinger on there. I don't remember the slash, but I know if you just search RushTix.com and search for Colleen
Ballinger.
It's an
amazing cause. You're an amazing person. And then, you've been working so hard on this. Everyone listening to this now, go
and then
do that.
At 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the same day, December 11th. That's when the live stream is. That's free. So if you can't afford or don't want to pay for the concert, that's totally fine and fair. And you can watch a free live stream because I want everyone to be able to participate in the fundraiser and be a part of it. So I'm going to do a free live stream. That one's not a concert. I'm not singing at that one. But I give away prizes to people who donate or who spread the word about childhood cancer research funding, all of that. So you can tune into that at 3 for free and win prizes, or you can tune into the concert at noon where I'll be singing and also probably giving away stuff and whatever. And then, or you can do both. So we'll see you guys there on Sunday.
We'll see you on December 11th.
And thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
You can relax. Colleen and Eric have a podcast. The world is scary and we're locked in our home, but now we have big microphones. So you can relax, that's the name of our podcast.